The Tom Woods Show, episode 848.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Folks, if your email inbox is taking over your life, manage it with SaneBox.com. Check out SaneBox.com/Woods and get a 2-week free trial plus an automatic 25 smacker discount. Hey everybody, Tom Woods here, still under the weather, but not so much that I can't have a conversation with Dave Smith, who is just such a fun guy to talk to. I told him, let's just treat this like you and I are talking on the phone. We'll make an episode out of it. That's an episode. You and me talking on the phone. Well, anyway, Dave Smith is a stand-up comedian. He's host of the podcast Part of the Problem. You can catch him on Fox Business and Fox News, on Kennedy and Red Eye in particular. And you can follow him on his website at comicdavesmith.com. I'll have a lot of links, including his social media, at tomwoods.com/848. And we wanted to talk today about, should we just write off the left or what? Because Dave has a bit of a different perspective on this, and I thought, why not? Let's bring Dave on. We'll hash this out. Dave, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me, Tom. It's an honor.
This has been much too long. You were on, I haven't checked, but it was, I don't know, something like episode 12. I don't know. It wasn't that long ago, but it was a long time ago. And now we're finally getting you back on.
You might have been with Peter Schiff at the time. Who knows?
Yeah, who even knows, right? I might not even have had kids yet. My life was totally different.
It was a different world, Tom. Kids were chanting, end the Fed, instead of build that wall.
Yeah, it was a whole different, yeah, or burn that building and smash that Starbucks. It's not the same.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the same ring, you know? It doesn't have the same ring. Well, anyway, I'm glad to talk to you today because you, first of all, you and I get along great, and I think what you do is great, and I'm really glad to know you. And you are going to make something of a correction of me. And now this is, you know, back to back here. I just had that weasel Michael Malice on. And, you know, he's always looking to correct me over some piddling bit of nothingness, whatever. And then but you're less obnoxious than Michael Malice, that's for sure. But that doesn't say much. But I think you want to say that maybe I'm overdoing something, and I am very open to that possibility. So what do you think it is that I'm possibly overdoing?
I don't know if I would necessarily say you're overdoing anything. I think you are. Me and you probably aren't actually that far on this issue at all. But I guess the overall pitch that I decided I'd come on and make was kind of the idea of not giving up completely on the left, and the idea that libertarians should still be talking to the left, and that I think a lot of people, a lot of libertarian content producers, myself included, have grown more and more frustrated with the Antifas and the social justice warriors and the absolute craziness going on. However, that being said, as someone who's a little bit more connected to the lefty world, being a comedian who lives in New York City, I can tell you that there are a lot of people within the lefty world who aren't quite as insane as the Antifa people you're seeing on your, you know, YouTube videos, not quite as out of their minds as the people who Tucker Carlson is smacking down every day, who are also getting a little bit turned off with this craziness on the left. And I think it's important right now that we continue to talk to those people, seeing as how, as Lou Rockwell always said, we do have this advantage of having the truth on our side. And for the small percentage of those people who are still looking for a little bit of truth, I think we can still be very compelling.
All right. Okay. Fair enough. Now, look, you're talking to a guy who wrote We Who Dared to Say No to War with Murray Polner, mm-hmm. who's probably the most lefty guy I know personally, actually.
Excellent, excellent book, Tom.
Thank you very much. So in theory, I'm all in favor of this. And I always want to talk to anybody who wants to talk to me, I'll talk to you. I guess part of the reason I have a bit of a visceral response to the left is precisely this point when I say I'll talk to anybody who wants to talk to me, because even the people who are not smashing the ATMs or beating people up in the street, nevertheless, are of the opinion that, well, let's see, Think Progress doesn't like this guy, and I've read two sentences about his, I don't know, what is it, 25-year career or something at this point? And that's all I need to know, that he's terrible, probably at least a fascist sympathizer. I get this, it's to the point where it's why I say, why am I bothering to do this? Why am I hanging out my little sign saying, look, I'll talk to anybody who is anti-warfare state and we can start from there. Well, I want to just take that sign down and set it on fire.
Yeah, okay, look, I just, for people who listen to your show who maybe aren't familiar with me, I just want, just so you understand where I'm coming from, your listeners, that is, I'm not like one of these left libertarians. I'm not any more than, you know, than you are a neocon currently. I'm not a leftist at all currently. I'm like a pure Rothbardian, Hoppian, Woodsian, non-aggression principle. I don't care about inequality or anything like that. And so I understand where you're coming from, and I do objectively think, you know, I've been a libertarian for around 10 years now, going on about 10 years. And I think that the left has gotten far worse in this time. I believe that they do need to be dragged over the coals to some degree intellectually for this. And I think, you know, if you on my Twitter right now, my pinned tweet is I said it's something along the lines of, I said, maybe if you weren't silent while the last guy was slaughtering Muslims, I could take your outrage over strict immigration seriously.
Oh, man.
And that's pinned, Tom. To your millennial listeners, you understand what that means when you pin a tweet. That's more than like a tattoo. That's serious.
Oh, that's right. And by the way, I just about 2 days ago pinned my first tweet. Because I finally realized, oh, there's some value. Because if somebody clicks on me to look at me, they'll see this tweet. It took me years to figure this out.
Yes, especially if there's something like kind of hot that's going on right now that really does encapsulate everything you're trying to go after. Look, so, and I also think it should be look, my take more or less when I first got into libertarian stuff, and maybe this is because I came from the left, but I kind of felt like overall the left was a little bit better, because on the issues that I thought were the absolute most egregious things that the state does, namely like mass murder and you know, over, you know, the militarization of the police, mass incarceration, got kind of the destruction of all these neighborhoods. I thought the left was more or less sympathetic to those, and then they would just kind of misjudge what government was when it came to like, government will be the referee in the game. And I felt like, well, it's pretty easy to explain to them that government isn't the referee in the game and that government actually works for these corporations. And on the right, I saw people kind of, you know, under the Bush years, like if you go like 10, 11 years ago, they were just championing war and mass surveillance. And I thought to myself, you know, that's even worse. Over the last 10 years, it's very hard for me to deny that the right has gotten much better and the left has gotten much worse. Just objectively speaking, in my mind, I mean, all of those issues that the left was railing against, they completely abandoned. They went into the world of like microaggressions, which I think to a true libertarian, there should be nothing more profoundly offensive than the microaggression philosophy, because they take our precious, precious word of aggression, which is what we're all about defining, and basically say anything that makes me feel uncomfortable is now aggression and can be met with aggression. I really do think that's the intellectual framework for what you see with the Antifas and all this crazy stuff, shutting down Milo and Gavin and all that stuff. So again, I'm not, you know, I'm with you. They're terrible. And I think it also should be mentioned that by their own metric or their own measurement of racism, which is the worst thing in the world, to me and you, we might say like genocide or mass murder is the worst thing in the world, but to them it's racism. And it should be pointed out that the left is far more racist, far, far more bigoted than the right is. I mean, if you don't judge racism by their term, which means, you know, only white people can be racist or whatever. But if you just say who's more bigoted against a group, there's more anti-white sentiment on the left than there's any type of bigotry on the right. So again, I'm fine with calling all of this out.
All right, but now let me pull you back to where you want to take this. Suppose you're talking to somebody who says, I'm not particularly a Milo fan, the person might say, but I'm definitely not a fan of people being violent and suppressing speech, both strategically and morally. I'm against those things. All right, that's good. That's a good start. But are you then saying, because to me, the real issue is, given that the left is really, really unhappy about Trump, then, you know, a lot of people have said this would be a good time to reach out to the left and say, do you see the dangers of giving too much power to any one person or too much power to the government? And I don't think that's the way they would look at it. I would say, well, these are the dangers of losing an election. We got to make sure we don't lose again. And when we get back in power, we got to really stick it to these people and audit all of them and make sure they all suffer and pay. And I think that's what they're seeing.
Yeah.
How do you propose we drag them out of that?
Well, I understand what you're saying. It's a very valid concern. You know, I would mention the podcast that I do, Part of the Problem, which is, you know, it's kind of like the Tom Woods show. If, you know, instead of doing your research, you just cursed incessantly. But anyway, my co-host, Mike Brancatelli, made this point. We were talking about this the other day, and I thought it was a really good point. And he brought up Thomas Sowell and how Thomas Sowell used to make the point that when you talk about the rich or the poor, this isn't this group is changing. It's fluctuating. Like the top 1% isn't the same people, and the poor aren't the same people they necessarily were. So just keeping that in mind when we're talking about the left, this is something that's changing. There are people who used to be far lefties who come out of the left and then go in. So I do agree that, yes, there are lots of people on the left who are going to take this more as a message that we lost the election, then we really need to limit the power of government. And I think that all of the people who are turned off by a Milo Yiannopoulos event being shut down are completely 1,000% justified. But I do think, and I remember when you were having a conversation with Milo, Tom, I thought you kind of brought this up to the surface at one point. And while I admire what Milo does, I think he does a fantastic job of smacking down the left. He's incredibly entertaining. I always love watching his stuff. What concerns me about Milo and a lot of the kind of anti-left people is that when you actually ask them what they stand for and who they want to build up, they're supporting people like Rudy Giuliani. And all I'm saying is that now that we got this anti-lefty movement where while the left wing is a big threat to free speech right now, probably the biggest threat to free speech, there's another huge threat that's growing, which is that, you know, the Republicans are back in power and they are, I mean, I know this for a fact now because I'm like kind of in that world. They are permeated by pro-war psychopaths who want nothing more than a conflict with Iran, want nothing more than, I mean, when we look at someone like Obama, and maybe the most disgusting thing about the left is that while Obama, you know, the worst aspects of his legacy, the fact that he set the precedent that you can legally, signed into law, that you can murder American citizens without charges, detain American citizens, that you can bomb any country in this ridiculous war on terror. Well, the complaint from the Republicans is essentially that he didn't do a lot more of that stuff. That's their complaint, that he was basically weak on all those issues. So I just think we need to some degree to start getting real about opposing this however we can. And if there's anyone we can peel off of the left craziness, then we need to keep talking to them.
Yeah, as I say, fair enough. I personally feel like my strengths don't lie in that direction. I accidentally convert people from the left. I'm not trying to, but people write to me and say that I managed to do it. I don't know if I've said this on the show, but I even at one time had a guy come up to me and say, my book Meltdown, which is just a book on the financial crisis, that somehow converted him from being a socialist to being a free market guy. I wasn't even aiming that book at him. I was aiming that book at conservatives who didn't know what to think.
Look, I have probably had more success myself converting people from the right than from the left. And that is shocking to me. Certainly when I first came into this libertarian business, that would have been very, very shocking to me. But Tom, I got to tell you, I bet you've converted a lot of people from the left, a lot more than you think. I'm one of them who you had a big hand in converting over from the left. And I guess the central message of what I'm saying here is that I just see a lot of people and some good libertarian people too, content producers, people with different shows out there online. I see them really losing their minds and almost snapping with how crazy the left is. And I don't think it's a good idea. Look, again, like I said, this is what I was saying before. I'm not one of these left libertarians. I'm as disgusted with the left as any of you guys are. The thing is that I'm actually somewhat sympathetic to the Hoppian removal argument. Okay. Like I'm not, but I see that as almost being something like, yeah, when we're one step away from having a libertarian society, maybe we could do that. We are nowhere near the numbers that we don't have anywhere near the numbers for the type of action that some of these people are talking about taking. And the idea that we can just stop talking to people, you know, give up on the left, Look, I mean, you could make a strong argument we should give up on the left, give up on the right, give up on all these groups that support the state. But my problem is we're never going to get anywhere if we do that. And I got to say, I really do worry about a lot of what I see as this trend. Whereas I would have said, like, as of the last few years, I mean, the left has been getting so much worse than the right. And now I see this trend on the right of mirroring a lot of the worst aspects of the left. I remember seeing this at first in the men's rights movement, when that kind of started becoming, you know, very prominent on the internet a few years ago. And at first it'd be kind of like, oh, okay, great. Someone's kind of giving it back to the feminists because they're just out of their minds. But then you'd start to hear a lot of these requests from the men's rights movement of things like, well, they have a government program for women. We want a government program for men. And you're like, wow, well, now you're just becoming everything that I hate about the other side. And I'm not going to get on board with embracing identity politics, embracing this race realism crap. Let me tell you something, Tom, and this really kind of disappoints me, but there is some, you know, really hardcore alt-right listener of your show who, as soon as I started pitching this message, goes, eh, he's just a Jew. I'm telling you, that does exist, and that's of the left. That's what I hate about the left the most. They'd listen to this conversation and just go, eh, white privilege, and not even take the argument up. I'm just saying I see this building up on the right. I see a lot of libertarians getting frustrated with the left, abandoning the non-aggression principle, abandoning kind of the principles we stand for, not presenting libertarianism as the true – look, maybe I'm wrong, but I was convinced a while back that we were the true humanitarians. And I don't know why we wouldn't want to promote the message that way. If you think we can just close up shop and start making ourselves – presenting the message in a way where no one on the left will ever get on board with it. You know what I'm saying? I just don't think that's a good path for us to go down.
All right. Let's keep this going after we thank our sponsor. Folks, if you remember the Pink Floyd album Dark Side of the Moon, it was all about different things that can drive you mad. Well, one of those things in my case is email. You can't imagine how much email I get every day, and it takes over my life, and it makes me anxious, and how am I going to answer it all, and how do I sort through it? And I now have the solution thanks to SaneBox.com, SaneBox.com. It sorts my email according to how important it is. That's right, it figures that out. Now, I nudge it along. I give it some hints here and there. And it also can have my email come back to me on a particular day when I know I'll have time to deal with it. So instead of thinking, oh, I got to go back and look at my email from 5 days ago to get to those three I didn't answer, no, I can just tell SaneBox, send me these tomorrow, or send them to me 2 days from now at 3 p.m., because I know I'll be available then. It has those tools and more. I can't recommend it enough. Get a 2-week free trial, plus an automatic $25 discount if you decide to subscribe by checking out SaneBox.com/Woods. Dave, let me run by you something Jeff Deist said on, could have been on my show, but I listened to everything he says, so I'm not sure where he said it. But he was saying, if the left didn't have this, I know this part I'm kind of adding, if they didn't have this urge to take over everything and dictate to everybody and have their, you know, their own ideological preferences in every nook and cranny of the whole world, if they didn't have that part to them, if they could just say, look, I want to live a life according to what I believe in, and I want to live in a society that's organized according to what I believe in, even if the whole world isn't, even if the whole country isn't, but at least the society I live in, the neighborhood, the town, the city, the state, that would at least be something, and I could take that as a second best option, then we could say, look, if California wants single-payer health care, go ahead. If you want to favor green energy, go ahead. If you want to have a $25 an hour minimum wage, go ahead. And that would solve it. Now, what's interesting, though, is that the people who are calling for Cal exit, when you look at what their demands are, this is a point made by John Seiler, who used to be with the Orange County Register. He points out that every one of these demands they could have in the union. It's not at all clear why they would need to. He says, now, look, don't get me wrong. I favor secession. I just don't see why they would need secession for all these things. They could just do them. Some states are already doing the things that they say they want. So whether it would require secession or not is a separate question. But if we could simply say, if people want to live a certain way, you move over here. If you want to live another way, you move over here. Now, that's a very blunt instrument because, you know, obviously there are more than two different ways to live. But you see my point.
Yes. And I love Jeff Dice, everything he says is right. I don't disagree with him on anything. Mm-hmm. I remember Ron Paul making this point years ago, and I thought this was such a strong argument. I was like, oh, well, that's it. I'll be able to convince every far leftist to be a libertarian now, because you're like, oh, you guys can still be a leftist. You can still go buy a factory and split it amongst the workers and, you know, hey, run it that way. And if that's more efficient, then fine. But, you know, of course, it's not that easy to convince anyone to. Right. Yes, I agree with what you're saying, essentially. I do think, like, I remember I saw this meme, just kind of a funny little aside, but I saw this meme. It was right after Trump got elected, and there was some progressive who was going over ideas of how lefties could fight Trump. And I swear he stumbled upon libertarianism around like idea four. And he went, well, maybe if all of us just don't send in our taxes, and then we could send the money ourselves to the programs that we think are necessary, and then we wouldn't even need the federal government to follow. It was like one of his several ideas. So it does. There is something very interesting to the fact that we almost do have a solution to hand them. And I do think that's a powerful point to continue to make. I would just say, well, at the end of the day, we as libertarians understand, like, we have a streak of radical individualists that runs through our individualism, that runs through our thinking. We're not the collectivists. And sometimes we all have to use, you know, we all see things in terms of patterns. But I'm just making the point, look, to the philosophical underpinnings of the left, is there something about ruling over your fellow man? Yes, absolutely. That being said, to a whole lot of people who you might consider left-wing people, I don't know that I buy that they necessarily have this urge to rule over a lot of people. You know what I think a lot of them? They were just born in a city. They were born in New York or LA. The same way a lot of people on the right wing were just born there, and they're just kind of going along with the crowd. That's the truth. I think a vast majority of these people are just kind of sheep that are falling in line with what most people around them believe, and they don't think the issues through that deeply. Look, truthfully, when I see most left-wing people, maybe not the real crazy ones who are mentally disturbed social justice warriors or whatever, I'm not, you know, but when I see the average just left-wing person who will tell me things, or the average just, you know, progressive who will say things to me like, oh, you know, I kind of lean libertarian, but I think everyone should have health care and education. I don't think of myself as like, oh, this guy's got some impulse to rule over me.
I totally agree.
I just look at it like, there, but for the grace of God, go I. Like, luckily I read Rothbard. I was in the right time. I got opened up to this stuff. I think my whole point of this whole episode is that there still are some reasonable, logical people out there who are just going with it. Our message is very compelling. And the point that Jeff Dice made, the point that you're making, that they can have their world in a libertarian society, well, for whatever percentage, maybe a very small percentage, but we'll still hit them like, that's a good point. And we still need that small percentage. We libertarians are not in a position to turn away anyone who might be coming over to our path. I mean, again, look, Tom, even if you say you may not have had the most success converting left-wing people, you converted me, and now I'm out there converting other people. So you can still do a lot more of that.
You're bringing a tear to my eye. All right. Well, okay. Let me be, I guess, a little bit conciliatory as I think this through. I think most people, you're right, are not so ideological that they've thought through, that they know all the philosophical foundations of their belief system and the full-on implications of where this will all take them. I do think that the people who are the loudest mouths and the big organizers know full well what the end game is. And yes, I think these are dangerous people, but you're right. I think the average person who says I'm probably more or less on the left is somebody who thinks, look, I want the people who are the most vulnerable to be taken care of. And because I've been told certain things about the way the economy works, I think we need the following number of regulations. Now, these are debatable issues, and most of those people don't think they're debatable. They think, well, what else could you conclude from eighth grade social studies other than we need these regulations and whatever? So fair enough. I mean, we it's too bad they don't see that these things actually are debatable, and it's not just the titans of industry on one side and the oppressed proletariat on the other. That you know, I grew up in a blue-collar family, and I was against all these regulations too. I get that a lot of these folks are just the products of their environment in a way, kind of like how I was. I mean, I grew up as like a moderate GOP guy because that's what my father was. And he basically taught me stuff and I learned it. And it was based in large part on his own personal experiences. Now, I bet if other people had had bad experiences, let's say they had bad experiences with the company they worked for or their father's boss was a real jerk, that would color the way they think about the whole world, I would think.
Sure. And I've had bad experiences with cops where they've just been real jerks to me. And then, I imagine I was some black kid growing up and everyone in my world had been telling me that cops are these evil, racist people. I'd have been like, yeah, I'm convinced this guy was just a jerk to me for no reason. The fact that I'm not black made me look at it and go, oh, well, maybe it's just because, or later look at it and go, oh, maybe it's because he works for this violent monopoly that should never exist. But anyway, so I think that's a fair point. And we should be at least a little bit. I also say this for the point I was making before about us being the humanitarians. I think libertarians should be, we should try to not speak about all people with complete contempt. Now, the people you're talking about, true architects.
By the way, that's a good rule of thumb. We should try not to speak of all people with complete contempt. Well, yeah, I accept that.
By the way, a lot of them we should have contempt for. But again, what you're saying, and I think sometimes even when one of the things I really loved and admired about Ron Paul was even when if the topic of immigration came up or the topic of refugees came up, even if he may take the aspect of like the government shouldn't be bringing all these people in or we shouldn't be subsidizing immigration, he would always speak about them in a humanitarian way and say, I understand these are people who have difficult lives. And anyway, I think we should always keep that in mind, what the other person is really, what their experience really is.
All right. What else? What else should we hammer out here? What else is still on your mind?
So let me say again, besides I guess my thing would be don't completely abandon the idea of talking to the left. The other thing I would say is don't to libertarians, don't abandon libertarianism. I mean, don't abandon the non-aggression principle, the idea of private property, everything that we stand for. I see a lot of people, I think it's been easy because of the left-wing craziness, which, as I said, I agree, has just boiled over to an insane level. It's been very easy to kind of make allegiances with everybody who's anti-left wing. And even some people have started getting into the idea that like I was saying before with Milo, it's a real problem to me if anybody supports Rudy Giuliani. I don't call me crazy. I thought he was one of the bad guys. And if you're going to get into just supporting traditional, if we're going to have some type of right-wing movement and say, okay, the argument that I've heard is kind of like, well, you guys had your chance with Ron Paul. Sure, kids were chanting end the Fed, end the wars. But what Donald Trump did, he's able to actually win. And sure, now the kids are chanting lock her up and build the wall. And there's nothing particularly libertarian about any of that. But, now we win. Okay, but we win and then we get Jeff Sessions and Rudy Giuliani and that doesn't do anything for us. That doesn't get us a victory. If we get people in there who champion the military and champion the police, but look, by any libertarian principle, it's the military commits mass murder and the police are essentially a criminal organization that go around harassing and kidnapping people. We're not going to get anything. We have to keep the message pure or there's no victory in it for us. So I think the same way libertarianism had this big, a lot of people on the alt-right, they'll say things to me. They'll be like, oh, Dave, are you still a libertarian? That's so 2012. This is their attitude. Like, we had our bump and now they're having their moment. I will tell you, Tom, I think we're going to have a comeback. I think watch out for the pure libertarian rise in the next few years. We have, as Lou Rockwell always says, we have the truth on our side. That's the big advantage. This is why we need to keep talking to everybody. This is why what you do with your show is so important. I think you're going to be right at the center of it, Tom, when we have this next big libertarian moment, and I can't wait for it.
Well, that's very good of you to say. I appreciate that. I mean, say one more thing about Milo before we wrap up. What's interesting about him is that even though I like him personally and I like his provocative style and all that, when you really peel back and look at his views, they're not all that different from standard Republican politics.
Yes, I'm sorry. My only problem with Milo is that I wish he would be more dangerous, as he claims to be.
Yeah, he's not dangerous enough. And so, if I'm able to get him on for his book, I'm going to say that. I think I'm going to say I'm going to write on your cover, almost dangerous, or somewhere in the vicinity of a million miles of dangerous, but not nearly as dangerous as you could be.
Well, that's right. I'm sorry if you're like one of these conservatives. conservatives who is in that vein, whatever you want to call, I know people call that alt-right, but it's not really, but whatever that Breitbart just kind of like.
Yeah, he's not alt-right. Left, no, he's made that clear over and over.
But it's whatever that school would think. I got to say, I find it offensive when you think you're a radical. If you're supporting Rudy Giuliani, you're supporting, like, I grew up in New York. You're supporting a liberal Republican from the 90s. There's nothing radical about it. If you, I can't tell you how deeply offensive I find it. If you are like one of these people who supports the military or the American military industrial complex, and you believe you're red pilled, you're out of your mind. Like, so I think we need to keep pushing back against them. And while it made a whole lot of sense in the Obama era when the progressives controlled everything to partner up with the anti-left people, now I think libertarians got to find a little bit of a different way, and we got to kind of hold everyone's feet to the fire, because we're not going to get any victories. You've seen this so many times, Tom. We're not going to get any victories with the Republican Party taking over.
Yeah, I mean, I still – maybe we need a separate discussion of this, because – I went for many years, you can find me writing and saying that there's no difference between the parties and they're both terrible. And I think I was saying that at a time when I had just forgotten how terrible the Democrats are. And so I actually feel like I'm going to just come out and say this. And if people don't like it, they can either listen to a different podcast or they can say, well, I disagree with this one judgment Woods makes, but I think I'll keep listening. I think the Republicans are marginally better. I think they would appoint better justices. And I think at least we have a chance of getting a hearing. Some of our people get a hearing. It's like Fox News.
Yeah,
Fox News is terrible on war, but it's the only thing that how many times do you get invited onto MSNBC?
Well, we're going.
See what I mean?
We're at zero.
Why the Republicans are better than the Democrats.
Well, that is a very strong argument for why Fox News is better than MSNBC, for sure. I agree with you on that. I mean, look, any network that has Judge Napolitano floating around is better than every other network that's out there.
Right.
I'll grant you that. And here's why I can't completely get on board with that. First off, the idea that there's no difference between Democrats and Republicans, I've also been somebody who's subscribed to that idea. I don't think anybody can say there's no difference between Trump and anything. Trump is different.
Exactly.
And so I concede there's something different with Trump.
That's why in this cycle, I did not say, oh, there's nothing to choose. It's not going to make a difference.
Yes, okay,
at the beginning, I thought that. But then as I listened to Trump, I thought, no, there's a chance he may be a real wild card here.
Sure.
So we couldn't say, but you could say that with McCain. You could say it with Romney.
Well, but let me say, I'd even go a step further. I mean, I would say post Civil War, I think Woodrow Wilson might be the worst president we ever had. Or I should say that Woodrow Wilson is the worst president we ever had. I think George W. Bush is probably the second worst president we ever had. So the most recent time before this, I've never been a Republican except for 2012 to vote for Ron Paul. But when Republicans controlled the House, the Senate, and the president and the executive branch had it all, it resulted in, I mean, you just
can't
explain what a disaster it was. You're talking about, I mean, entire nations destroyed, hundreds of thousands, if not over a million of people slaughtered. And quite possibly we lost the republic forever under that guy. So I just, you know, I get what you're saying, but really terrible things can happen with Republicans, too.
No, I get it. But I mean, I could almost describe Lyndon Johnson the same way you described George Bush. Many people killed. Overseas, and then all kinds of crazy programs passed through.
All right, fair enough. There's a very strong argument for LBJ in there, too.
So, the point is that for the exact same reason,
right.
the very same reason is that he was terrible overseas and terrible domestically.
Look, it gives me a tiny little ray of hope when I see people, and this is the funny thing, because all the people in Trump's cabinet that the media are bashing are like the ones I'm kind of happy are there. You know, I'm kind of happy Steve Bannon's there. I'm kind of happy Betsy DeVos is there. Like those people. The ones who really scare me are like, you know, the Jeff Sessions and the like more traditional Republicans who have been wrong about almost every policy and just seem to want to double down on that. And what really freaks me out are all the people who are hawkish in Iran. I think that's what we got to be very concerned about. I know that there are still neocons all over the place, and those guys want a war with Iran as much as they ever have. And there's a lot of pressure for that. So I think that's a big concern. As much as like the Antifas are a big concern, believe me, getting in another war is going to be a big, big problem for this country.
One last thing before I let you go. Can you tell people, because most people, I get a lot of people who don't know what SJW stands for, Social Justice Warrior, but I bet a lot of people don't know what Antifa is.
Oh, yeah. So Antifa, or, you know, it's so ironic, but these are the what they call themselves. Everything a liberal calls themselves is the opposite of what they are. You know, they should never have a word rooted in liberty or progress. But they, yeah, so they're the anti-fascists, although they're pretty fascist-y if you really get right down to it. So they're the anti-fascists that are going around silencing free speech with threats of violence in the name of anti-fascism.
Yeah. Okay, that's what you're dealing with. That's what this group is all about.
Believe me, by the way, I am a Jewish libertarian of German descent. There's nobody more anti-fascist than me.
Well, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. All right, Dave, tell people how they can find out more about you and listen to your podcast.
Well, the podcast is part of The Problem. It's on iTunes and all that stuff. It's also available on the Gas Digital Network, gasdigitalnetwork.com. You can go to comicdavesmith.com. And yeah, like, you know, as you mentioned, I'm on Fox News fairly regularly. You can see me regularly on Kennedy, on the Fox Business Show, and on Fox News. And I will still say, Tom, of all the cool things I've done in my career, it really is being on the Tom Woods Show is the coolest to me. I mean it completely seriously. More than Rogan, more than the Fox News stuff, anything else. I've made no secret about this, Tom. I admire what you do so much. I think you're such an important voice. You really helped me understand all of this libertarian business. So really, really thrilled to come do the show again.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you, Dave. We'll try and do it more often. Thanks again. All right. Got a new website to tell you about, created by a listener of this show, and it's called thelibertarianeducator.com. And the main heading on the site is Confessions of a Libertarian Teacher. So there are some items here on Betsy DeVos and the Department of Education, as well as the Constitution, the new Attorney General, whether winning the popular vote matters. There's a lot of interesting stuff on it. You can get there at thelibertarianeducator.com, and I'm going to link to that as the listener website mentioned at tomwoods.com/848. Now remember, not only do you get these neat bonuses that I give you if you get your hosting through my link when you start your site, but they now have a special page at Bluehost with my face on it. It's funny, actually, and it actually gives you the best price they offer to anybody. So not only do you get my bonuses, you get this mention, a link from me, some tutorials, and membership in my private bloggers group, but you also get a discount. So it's a tremendous package of goodies. You can get this package of goodies by visiting tomwoods.com/publicity. Secondly, if you don't yet have my little ebook, Sane Space, Libertarian Dispatches from Bizarro America, you can get it by texting. Ready for this? Texting the word snowflake to 33444. Now, you can also get it by going to sanespacebook.com. But I personally think it's more fulfilling to text the word snowflake to the number 33444, and you get yourself that free ebook. All right, that's it, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit TomWoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.